Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to read one phrase from this chapter. As a matter of fact, one part of a verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The last phrase. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I could ask, have you ever really read that? And I'm sure you have. But I ask you, have you ever really read that? This is not the summary of this great ending to this chapter, we might say. It's not the ending at all. Paul goes on, of course. But he is coming to a great crescendo here at the end of this chapter. This is not the summary, but it is a question asked in light of what he's just said. Because we see, what shall we then say to these things? Not what I'm about to say, but what I've just said. If God be for us, who could be against us? And then he goes on to define exactly what he means in quite a lot of detail.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you a question. When you read this passage, do you think of the enemy and all these things as being against you, and then God is working them together for your good? If and when you do, you are wrong, and you will miss the blessing of what this says in your experience. When he says, if God be for us, he's not saying maybe God's for us, maybe God's not. Because what he's already previously said to the people he's talking to, God is definitely for them.
Amen.
The if is not a connection to God, it's a connection to the last part of the statement.
Right.
If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is rhetorical. No one can be against us.
Exactly.
No matter what they perceive.
That's right.
And no matter what I perceive in the circumstances, none of these things or people can be against us.
Amen.
Because God is for us.
Amen.
Not working these things out for our good, but because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Wherever you're at as a believer, God ordained you to be right there at that time for your benefit. That's what this is saying. And I'm glad Paul says we know it. I'm glad he didn't say we feel it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I don't always feel it. But I'll tell you this, by the grace of God and by His Spirit, as God is my witness, I know it's true.
That's it.
Here's why. The God who is for us reigns over tribulation.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
The God who is for us reigns over distress. The God who is for us reigns over persecution. The God who is for us reigns over famine. And sometimes I think, though, in our conduct, in our walk, and in our thoughts, we forget that. Well, we believe God reigns over all, but then we think of these things coming against us. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Isn't that what he says? And yet we read into it what we think it ought to mean.
Right.
And usually we do that so we feel a little better about ourselves. I'm not supposed to feel so up about this. Yeah, you are supposed to feel so up about this. Because if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He's the God who reigns over famine.
Yes, sir.
He's the God who reigns over nakedness. If you got clothes on your back, God gave them to you.
Amen.
If you don't, God took them away from you.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's right.
it.
Now, if you don't like this God, if you don't love this God, you got no part in all of this.
Exactly.
Because we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, what about before I love God? You got no right to think that way.
Exactly.
Before you, he is. But you got no right to think that way if you hate God.
That's exactly right.
He is the God who reigns over peril. If I ever find myself in peril, God put me there.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Circumstances didn't put me there.
Yeah.
He put me in the circumstance.
That's right.
He's the God who reigns over the sword.
Yes, sir.
No weapon formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
And I heard men say that back years ago, and I got kind of angry with them because I thought they did. And I didn't realize those men were right because they were talking about God in this thing, not me in this thing.
That's it.
God help me. So dull.
Well,
so hard of hearing. So interested with self. In my own personal circumstances, to realize, no, they're not my circumstances. They're God's circumstances.
That's it.
If God be for us, who can be against us? He's the God who ordains death.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's the God who ordains life.
Amen.
And he kills and he makes alive
exactly.
at his good pleasure. Now, that's just who God is.
Amen.
That's right.
He's the God who ordains angels, who ordains principalities, who ordains powers. He's the God who ordains the present and the future. All these things Paul mentions. As though they are, or we see them as against us. But guess what he's already said? If God be for us, who could be against you? God be for us, who can be against us? The heights are sustained by his decree.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Aren't they? Neither their height. The heights are sustained by his decree.
That's right.
The depths are sustained by his decree.
Amen.
No matter how high you think you or a circumstance or whatever it is may go, God's the one who holds it all together. No matter how far you think you've fallen, no matter how far down you are, no matter how downtrodden and distressed and in peril you are, God holds it together.
Amen.
He could as easily do one as the other. Yeah. It's all according to his wise sovereign purpose.
Yes, sir.
The heights are sustained by his decree. The depths are sustained by his decree. So if God be for us, who could be against us?
Exactly.
And this God, Paul says, loves us in his holy Son.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the... And then he wanted to say the power of God?
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly true, is it not?
Yeah.
But that's not where it's at. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Amen.
See, God doesn't just love us in Christ, though he does. He loves us by Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
The love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall those things separate us from what? Not just the purpose of God. He's mentioned that, yes. But the love of Christ.
Exactly.
Because we're so prone to think. We're in such a world of L-U-V, love. That we think when something bad happens, and if somebody ordained that thing bad to happen, then they must not love me. God help us and deliver us from that kind of love.
Amen.
Right. That's
right. We're so surrounded by it, and it's so much a part of our old nature, our old psyche, that we always want to think love always equals G-O-O-D feelings, good feelings. How well things are going for me. But Paul puts it this way, and he quotes from the Old Testament, as it is written.
Yeah.
For thy sake, we are killed all the day long.
Amen.
We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Why do men, for the most part, the general, why do they raise sheep? To eat. To eat. To clothe not the sheep, but to take the wool from the sheep and to clothe themselves.
right.
Now, God Almighty is pleased to feed on his wise sovereign purpose and clothe himself in majesty and honor and glory, even if it means when we're accounted as sheep for the what?
Yeah.
For the slaughter.
That's what it says. Yes, sir.
And then he says, nay, in all these things, we are not just overcomers. We're not just conquerors.
Yeah.
We are more than conquerors. It's almost like Paul, and God didn't even give him the word here to describe it. He just has to say, more than conquerors. He said, more than conquerors. How? Oh, here's how it is. Through him that loved us.
Amen.
More than a conqueror. What does it say? His truth, God has willed that his truth even triumph what? Through us.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, we're a sweet-smelling savor of life and the life to some folks. But what are we else also? What are we also? We are a savor of death unto others.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When God Almighty makes you, because the gospel is housed within you, vouchsafed within your heart, mind, and soul, and you express that to someone who is an infidel, they're going to see you as death too. And they're going to hate you because as natural men and women, we don't like death.
That's it.
We don't like, we want life, but even the life we want's not the life that God's ordained.
Exactly.
Is it?
Exactly.
Not as natural men and women.
Yeah.
And then he goes on with, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death. And then he just kind of sums it up. Nor any other creature. Now what is a creature? It's a thing that's made by the Creator.
Exactly.
It's a thing that's in the sovereign control of the Creator.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So if God be for us,
who
can be against us?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand that if you have a part in this, God loves you? And he loves you with a love that we really still yet don't comprehend in its fullness.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think at best, it's like little glimpses.
Yeah.
I noticed this morning when I went out and finally the skies had cleared and it was still dark. And I seen the stars and out of the corner of my eye, Joe, I caught a little flash.
Yeah.
I suppose it was a meteorite or whatever. But Mason, I caught that. But it was that glorious. Like that.
Yeah.
But it was still glorious. And then it was gone. It was gone, but it was still glorious nonetheless.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way God's love is.
Yeah.
But even more.
Sir.
God's love is no mere emotion to us.
Exactly.
That's the way we think about love.
Yeah, you're right.
An emotion.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say there is no emotion in God's love. But it's not mere emotion.
Exactly.
Emotions can change.
Yeah.
Even God sometimes is angry, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Right?
Huh?
God one time said, it repented me that I made man. I'm going to wipe him out.
That's right.
And I'm not here to try to define all the theological ramifications of that. Our God is one God, and he's forever eternal, and he changes not. And yet, he said, I'm going to destroy man. All that's true.
Amen.
All that's true at the same time.
Amen. That's it.
Aren't you glad God's love isn't just an emotion? Because what about if he felt bad about you one day?
Exactly.
And we'd be gone.
Yeah,
we'd be gone. Think about it. But here's what Paul says. God's love in Christ wrought against Christ the very judgment that was due us.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Look at it. The first part of verse 32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And now he's going to give us some foundation why. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up.
Yes.
For us all.
Amen.
Hmm? Do you see that? Yeah. That's where he starts, Joe.
Exactly.
Yes, he He initially begins with the great sovereign eternal purpose of God, but he boils all this thing down to what? Something that happened in time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he delivered up his son for us all. And that was God's love in Christ and the love of Christ for us. Because Father and Son, as some have said, metaphorically speaking, struck hands in a covenant.
Yes, sir.
The Father said, here's the people that needs redemption.
Yeah.
And I want them redeemed. The Son said, I'll take care of it.
Amen.
Something along that line.
Yeah.
I'll take care of it. So the Father delivered up the Son.
Yes, sir.
Think about Christ was made flesh.
Yeah.
That's a condescension in itself.
Exactly.
God the eternal Son, God Almighty, stooped and now has taken upon himself a body, a human body, and a human nature forever.
That's right.
Just to benefit worms of the dust like us.
Exactly.
My words can't describe that. Christ made flesh. That sin might be judged all the way to full condemnation. And that's what he said in the first part of the chapter. Chapter 8 verse 3. For what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Christ's flesh.
Amen.
That's right.
That's it.
God judged sin fully right there in the flesh of Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy. And not only that, and I'm not going into the deep, he was made a curse.
Yes, sir.
Because it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yeah.
The gravity of that goes no less that he was made flesh. He wasn't pretend.
Yeah.
He wasn't make believe. He was made a curse just as much as he was made flesh.
Amen.
That's right.
It says he was also made sin. I can't define that, but I thank God for it.
Amen.
Why? Because God's love in Christ would guarantee that we all would have everything we needed.
Exactly.
Now notice, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If he did that, and that's the crux of all the purpose of God. Everything God had purposed in eternity, and we say past, but it's not even, but in eternity, came to fruition, Joe, at that cross at Calvary. Yes, and then everything else that takes place after that, even unto eternity, was all based upon what took place at that cross at Calvary.
Yeah. Right.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
God suffered his son to go through what Joe just preached to us he went through.
Yeah.
Because he was for us.
Amen.
And he let wicked hands do that.
Oh, yeah.
Who could be against us?
Amen.
Huh?
Yep.
Who could be against us?
Yeah.
And yet how easily
I
forget that.
Right.
And how do I know I forget that? I look back at what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
There you go.
I look back at what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
I look back and look to how I conducted myself yesterday. How soon I forget. God's love in Christ is not only that, it's actively engaged. God is actively engaged in justifying us, and Christ is actively engaged in staying at our defense.
Sure.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth.
Amen.
He's still there,
yes,
in glory with his Son seated at his right hand, actively justifying us. But what if God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Who is he that condemneth?
Yeah.
It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
And he doesn't make intercession for you. One, he makes intercession for us as our advocate.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And you know what an advocate's there for? When you've screwed up.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's it.
When you messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go back and look at 1 John, last part of the chapter, and the first part of chapter 2.
Yep. That's it.
He says, little children, I write these things to you that you don't see them.
Yeah.
Put forth an effort not to sin.
There you go.
And if any man sin.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
We have an advocate. It didn't say if you confess. No, it says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father,
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous. That's why you confess, because he's up there advocating.
Amen.
That's why he brings you down low. Whatever the height of the death, Joe, whatever it is,
yeah.
In my greatest days and in my worst, if God's for me, who
yeah.
can be against me? But it's even more than that. See what God, that is this God I've been talking about, see what this God did for us.
Mm-hmm.
He engaged in our eternal blessing in eternity.
Yes, sir.
He decreed it would be this way.
Yeah.
Do you see it? Look, let's read it again. For, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate conformed. Read it that way too. Take that to be. He didn't predestinate to be, he predestinated, conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
In God's purpose, we were conformed to the image of his Son.
Yes, sir.
In eternity.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
For whom he did foreknow, he did. Did. See the deeds? Did foreknow.
Yeah.
Is he foreknowing us? We could say that's true. But here that's not what he said.
No.
For whom he did. As if it's an accomplished thing, Joe.
Yes, sir.
For whom he did foreknow, he also is predestinating. Is that what he said? No. Did predestinate,
yes.
Conform to the image of his Son, that he, that is the Son, might be the firstborn among many.
Yeah.
What? Brethren. We were the brethren before we ever knew we were the brethren.
Yeah, that's exactly
he
right.
Held us as the surety, as his brethren, before Neil, we ever were brethren in fact.
That's right.
But we were in God's purpose.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Yeah.
Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Amen.
And not only that, God called us into very love for him. And that's where he starts in this great crescendo. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. But then he says, to them that what? Love God. Now, we didn't start out that way.
That's right.
But bless God. Thank God. Every one of these people will be brought to that.
Amen.
Look, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And then he gives this qualification of who it is that loves
that's
God.
Right.
To them who are the called.
Amen.
According to his purpose. We love God, not in abstract.
No.
Any more than God loved us just in abstract.
Exactly.
Aren't you glad God didn't just love us in abstract?
Right.
Mason, he loves me in the very circumstances that brings me to my lowest place in this world. He still loves me in that circumstance.
Sir.
He brought it upon me for my good.
Yeah.
Whether I understand it. He didn't say, for we understand how all things work together for good. He said, we know they do.
That's right.
We count it so because God says it so. We believe him. We don't believe our feelings.
No.
We don't believe our emotions. We love God, not in abstract, but we love God for what he did. Do you see that? For what he did. What he did cannot be separated from who he is.
Exactly.
Now, do you see where I'm going here?
That's right.
There are a lot of people that want God just to be God, save him, take him to heaven, but they don't want to love God for what he did.
That's right. Amen.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
You reject, you hate what God did, you hate who God is.
That's exactly right.
Somebody said, you don't have to believe all that. No, you've got to love the God who did this. Yeah. When you find out that's who God is and he did this, you're going to say, that's who God is.
That's all he did.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
You don't like what God did, you don't like God. And it's worse than that. You don't love what God did, you hate who God is.
That's right.
Mm. And I'll tell you, it's even tougher than that, folks. Those who love God for what He did, we love for God for what He is doing.
Amen. That's right.
Now, when I say this, God knows. But if He takes that woman right back there away from me today, I must love Him for it.
Amen.
Love Him in it. Love Him because of it. Why? Because if God be for us,
that's right.
Who can be against us? Separated from my love? Maybe so. But you know what? That don't mean spit when it comes to acceptance before God. But separated from God, that means everything.
Exactly.
God's people love Him for what He did. God's people love Him for what He's doing. Living faith cries out this, even though it might still mourn and scrape itself with a piece of a broken pot, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. But it's not just some stoical, oh well then, that's the way it is. No sir, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, even as the tears stream down your face. That's not how faith ought to be. That's how faith is. Now, if it's anything else, call it what it is. Like that one fellow said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Quit doubt. Oh, I don't know if I really got faith or not. If you really don't know if you got faith or not, you're not saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now. If you don't know if you got faith or not, you're not saved. I don't care who you are out there in this little bitty group. Because when God Almighty gives you faith, you're going to know it. You're going to believe Him in spite of yourself. You're going to believe Him in spite of your tears. You're going to believe Him in spite of your pain. You're going to believe Him in spite of your trouble. And you're going to love Him even though the flesh in you hates Him.
There you go.
Now, can you relate to that?
That's it.
You're going to love Him even though the flesh in you hates Him for it. The world, the religious world, anti-Christ Christianity has to convince them that's the devil making me think that's thought. No, that hatred for God, that's me deep down inside me. That's the real Walter Pendleton in Adam. That one that cries out, oh, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the new man God creates in us. And I'll ask you a question. Don't become too frightened when you don't know the answer right off. But if you can't relate to the answer I give you, you ought to be frightened. Now you hear what I just said. We'll ask you a question. If you don't know the answer right off, don't be too frightened just because you don't know the answer right off. But when I give you the answer, you best be afraid if you can't relate to the answer I'm going to give you. You must think you know something. No, I know someone.
There you go.
Let me ask you a question. The hallmark of the elect, because all this is summed up as the elect, all these people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Foreknown, predestined, and then he calls it the elect. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's? Here's the summary, Neil, the elect. But here's the question. What is the hallmark of the elect? Do you know what the one hallmark in this passage, the one hallmark of all the elect is? Something that can be seen, at least by the elect person. Something that's going to be experienced and known as real. Do you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. The calling.
There you go.
Predestination is... but to me, words.
Yeah. You're right.
It is words. Glorious words.
Oh, yeah.
But Joe, I don't know how I can talk about having experienced the predestination.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're right.
Other than its connection to the calling.
Exactly.
I can't even express to you the justification and the glorification.
That's right.
I can't do it in an experience. except in its relationship to calling.
Yeah, exactly.
Because calling is something we all experience.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
What's the hallmark? The call it, yea, God's calling. See it?
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are who are the called,
yeah,
according to His, that is God's purpose.
Amen.
False Christianity touts their action for God. The called touts God's action toward them.
Amen. That's right.
That's it.
False Christianity touts their love. The called touts God's love. And John summarized it this way in 1 John 4. First of all, verse 10, he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
You see it? The false Christianity says, well, I love God. I love the Lord. Until something bad happens to them.
There you go.
And you know what? They have a way of getting around that too now, though. Well, the devil did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the devil that brought that. No, that's God Almighty. He's the sovereign of heaven and earth. He rules over all these things.
Yes, sir.
There's not a height that He's not there sustaining it. It says Jesus Christ holds all things together. By Him all things consist.
Amen. That's right.
False Christian, listen. The Antichrist, his spirit is here now. And anybody who doubts that, doubts the word, because John said his spirit's already been here way back yonder.
Exactly. Right.
And he is a deceptively wise critter.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
He knows how to bring talking points that comfort the Adamic flesh and the Adamic mind so it can say, I don't really need the truth about God. Just give me something to make me feel good about God.
There you go.
The hallmark of the elect is what? It's calling. Until God Almighty's called you, you've got no reason to believe you have any part in this.
Exactly.
And unless God called you, you'll never have any part in any of this.
You're right. That's it.
Never did?
Yeah, never will.
Never will.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But, one more thing, one more question. And I will say the same thing about this question. Don't be too upset if you don't have the answer right off. But if you can't relate to the answer I give you to this question, you ought to be scared to death. It'll frighten you within your soul. What is the hallmark of God's calling? Is there a hallmark of God's calling?
Yes, sir.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and I will give you the hallmark to God's calling. In other words, is there one thing that points out there is a called person?
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at what Paul writes, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross. And you all know that. Anybody who hears me on this tape at any other time, know this. We're not talking about that piece of wood on which Jesus Christ hung.
Exactly.
We're talking about His substitutionary sacrifice on that tree at Calvary. That's what we're talking about. For the preaching of the cross is them to them that perish, what is it? Foolishness. If the message of Christ crucified is foolishness to you, then you are not called.
Amen.
I'll show you. I'll prove that to you.
That's exactly right.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But to them which are saved, it's the power of God. But now look, and let me go on down. Just, you can read the rest of it. See, I'm not jumping the context. But look at verse 23 then. But we preach Christ crucified.
Yes, sir.
Unto the Jews, stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. And no matter which camp you're in, if you're in that camp, you're perishing.
Exactly.
It's not until God Almighty first calls you, or I'll put it this way, as Paul, He's got to save you first.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's got to save you first.
Yeah.
Look, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are, there it is.
There you go.
but unto them which are called. That worked out real good for me, didn't it? That just kind of fell right in the message, didn't it? No. This is what God's purposed. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, no matter what your background was,
exactly,
and is, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
There's the hallmark.
Yes, sir.
In other words, the truth of Jesus Christ crucified governs everything about me. My thoughts, my intents, my desires, it governs it all. Everything is in light of that message. If there's something else you'd rather hear, and I say this to each and every one of you, if I can look you in the eye, if there's something else that means more to you, then go find it.
That's it.
Because you'll not find anything else here other than that. God help us, Job.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the crux of it all.
Yeah.
Other things are glorious, but they all eventually either point forward to or will point back to. That Lamb crucified.
Amen.
Even in glory in the new heavens and the new earth. Who's going to be the light?
Yeah.
The Lamb. Lamb.
Yeah.
Lamb.
Amen.
However you want to say it. He'll be the light of that city.
Yeah.
We'll never forget that He's the Lamb, Mason.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Even after we're totally in His likeness. No more sin. No more suffering. No more death. No more sorrow. We ain't going to forget this. He's the Lamb.
That's right.
We wouldn't be here apart from Him.
Exactly.
Do you see it? Now, if it's going to be that important then, you think it's not that important now?
Exactly.
Huh? Now, come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, we know it is. See, we know it is.
Mm-hmm.
We know it. It is Christ crucified. And how do I know it governs it? Look at what Paul said to the Galatians. Remember, they were having some troubles. They were starting to get somebody come along and put the old shell game on them.
Uh-huh.
Hoodooed them. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in what? In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you remember I said, the truth of Christ crucified governs everything about us.
Right.
Here's where he says it. Look, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. All the proper perspectives will be properly perceived only as we're perceiving and glorying in Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
If my mind ever does start to deviate a little from that, Joe, everything else will fall out of perspective.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
It'll be misery.
Uh-huh.
It'll be pain. It'll be hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
So as a believer, I got to call that what it is, don't I?
Yeah.
Unbelief.
Yeah.
Oh, God, drag me back to the cross.
Yes,
more, drag me back to Christ and Him crucified. Look, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Well, that's just Paul. He was an apostle. Come on, man. He's an apostle.
Yeah, right.
Look, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. But here's what avails. Here's what matters. A new creation.
Amen.
This new creature looks to Him who created him.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Clay Curtis used this phrase: "A fire that is kindled is like the fire that kindled it." I like that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And the new creature, the new creation, that which God creates in us, that which loves God and loves Christ, it's always going to look back to Him who created it.
Yeah. That's right.
Always back. Look, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And here it is, and as many as. So that means not one more than.
That's right.
But thank God, not one less than. Huh?
That's it.
And as many as walk according to this rule.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Here's where peace resides.
Yes, sir.
Peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Oh. Again, I say the truth of Christ crucified governs our thoughts, our intents, our desires, even our very walk.
Amen. That's right.
It's like this. It raises us up when we're brought low.
Yeah.
And it brings us low when we raise ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that just a simple enough statement to kind of sum it all up?
Yeah.
Let me say it to you again. Get a hold of this if you can. Because this is not Walter. This is what the Scripture teaches.
Yeah.
It raises us up when we're brought low.
Yes,
ain't none of us say, I'm going to try to crawl down to the dust today.
Yeah, right.
I want my circumstances to be just as miserable as they can be today.
Right. Anyway.
Huh? Now, if you do, they got medicine you can go take. It might help you with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. It raises us up when we're brought low, but it also brings us low when we raise ourselves up.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm asking you now the question. And two questions. Can you relate to that? That's my answer to those questions. Can you relate to that? Has God called me? Has God called you? That's the question I have to answer for me, and you have to answer for you. You coming out, I don't know if I'm really saved. You know what I'm probably going to tell you? I don't either.
There you go.
I can't tell you either.
That's it.
And you know what? I'm at that place now. I baptized so many people that's went away, I'm about ready to tell most of them, I don't think you're saved at all. Hang around about 20 years and let's find out if it's real. Now, I know that's not the proper attitude to have, but that's the way I feel sometimes. Has God called me? Has God called you? Only you can know that.
Exactly.
We can be persuaded of one another. Why? Because of that kindred spirit.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I understand that. But I can't prove it to you. You can't prove it to me. Has God called you? Has God called me? But let me put it this way. If he has, then God is for us.
Yeah.
And if God be for us,
yep.
Who can be against us? Paul says, absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Now let me read it one more time. Mm-hmm. And I'll close with just reading it. Romans chapter 8, listen to what he says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Father, comfort us with these things. Not only, Lord, in our most low estate, but even in our most lofty, especially, Lord, in our most lofty perceived state. Oh, God, teach us you love us no matter what. You love us no matter what, because your love is all based upon the person and work of your Son. I thank you in his name. Amen. Thank you, Joe.